evening, wherever you may be.
Morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
Good morning.
Yay, I'm hearing some happy voices. Okay, excellent.
Morning.
All right, and congratulations for being happy with all the energy bouncing about. All right, go ahead and take a breath. Take several. Keep breathing. So that's through your mouth. With your attention on the back of your throat, exhale, I'm sorry, through your nose, out your mouth. It's opposite day for me, actually. As I was working and planning our call today, I realized all the information for how I was going to present it is coming in sort of out of sequence. So, in fact, a little, what came in last was what needs to be said first. So, anyway, I'm orienting myself to all of the directions, and we'll do that for you too. And we're going to get you grounded. So imagine be in the earth in her most ascended state. The heaven on earth that some of us grew up with or thought about, or when you've been in a most pristine environment. I've been reading an awful lot of information you've been sending me. I have emails and your comments before the call. And I'm doing my best to weave everything into our work today. And if I miss something, just send me another email. Or if you don't, if you miss it, because I think I've got it all addressed, but, please just let me know, because I want you to feel like you got what you came for in this program. Okay. One of the questions that came up was, is shame something that most of us carry to some degree? Does that turn into numbness? And that's excellent observation. That is often where it goes. So when we feel shame for ourselves or another, Who can carry that? Who can hold that all the time? So our consciousness protects us, and it projects it out, or it will. So it's somebody else's shame, not ours. It goes into blame, so we're not having to deal with it for what we're carrying, the wounds that we carry. And the reason we do that is we don't want to feel that. We don't want to really admit the depth of it. So often in our healing, we go as far as we can go and like a Band-Aid to put over it. And then sometimes it comes out a different way. I occasionally have met people who can get rid of a whole lot of shame, most of the shame all at once. But I don't actually believe that's usually the way it is. And I believe most of those people had been working on it in other levels before it released, because that's a heavy thing to lift up and out. And it redoes your entire identity when you do. You become a different person when you release that. You become lighter, you become freer, and you become a participant in the creation of your life. And so because of the time of year, because of what's happening, in all over the world, kind of the craziness that exists, it's all getting pushed. So the world and the energy is conspiring to find, the densest aspect of you that you're carrying and lift it. And I hope by now you're getting that that taking responsibility for your own energy field is the way. It truly is. If we stay in blame, we've completely disempowered ourselves. if we stay in disbelief or dismay or upset, we've completely disempowered ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that to have you take more shame and put it on yourself, because that's the current condition. You know, our consciousness almost gets set up for, I'm going to take the shame and I'm going to bury it so deeply that you still think it's everybody else's fault. And it might be. There may be characters that came in to play a part in what you're holding. And those characters are playing their own role in how to release their own shame. And they're seeing shame through how it works in your system. So you can keep carrying it, or you can say, oh, I'm done with that game now. I'm going to go play the game of life, not the game of Monopoly. I'm going to go play a different game now. And when I talk about, you can set one script down and you can pick up another, that is exactly what I'm talking about. You do not have to keep playing the same role, but you will if you're still carrying the deeper shame. You will, your mind will just create a different way of doing it. It'll feel good for a while, but unless you actually do the release work, unless you go in there and let that stuff out, the program will continue. And I'm going to talk about a couple of those programs. One is the numbness pattern, right? We have to hide the shame. We do that as a favor to ourselves, because otherwise we're just the walking wounded. We have to hide it a little bit to be presentable. And again, we're playing the game of what's presentable to the world, right? But we do that because that's what we think we have to do. That's a huge amount of energy going into that system. Huge. Imagine what you could create if you weren't putting on all those disguises of who you are. Okay, keep breathing through your nose, out your mouth. I talk about returning to the scene of the crime. I know that in police work and all writers of detective novels and fiction always have the person who committed the crime go back to where it originally began. And the way our consciousness works, the way the inner child, the inner beingness of you, the part of you that is your, what you could call your God self, your most smart part, is always, always directing you to the scene of the crime. It might be doing that by a pattern. It might be taking you to the edge of the pain and then pulling you away, but it's always directing you. It's always showing you what needs to lift. It may not come out and say it. It might come out with, oh my gosh, I feel horrible today. And what you're doing is getting into that place that's ready to lift up and out. And you have a choice. You can close the door on it and say, not today. And it's a reasonable choice. We've been making it our whole life. Or we can say, I'm going to open that door and I'm going to be completely neutral, or I'm going to be 100% accepting of the condition that brought me here. It will no longer be unbearable to me. I'm going to hold unconditional love in this spot so that the true release can take place, so the true healing can take place. So these patterns come up a lot of different ways. One would be like a debt trap. We have a pattern of a debt trap because we see something shiny and sparkling, and that we imagine in our imagination this one thing is going to make us feel better. And we're going to get that feel better because we recognize we have the power to purchase, which is an incredible power. Or we think that this thing outside of ourselves is going to make us better, and so therefore we buy it. People get into this habit in many ways. They do it on home shopping. They do it on buying vitamins. They do it on all kinds of things. New cars. I had one client who had to have a new car every year. He felt if he didn't buy a new car, he'd be changing his girlfriend all the time. So he needed to change something up. And that was his pattern because he would get bored. So anyway, so let's go back to our, what is our pattern? So sometimes it's the purchase and you feel really good, you know, you feel really good about it. And then the bill comes in. And then that item that you purchased is a little disappointing. You know, you got the impulse out. So something that was trying to say there's a better life, there's a better life, and you projected that onto this shiny thing that you purchased. Then you become disappointed and there's a regret and the bill comes in and then you repeat the pattern. Well, if I buy this thing will take care of it. Okay, now I'm going to talk to you about debt and worry traps. When I was really young, I figured this one out, and I was out meditating in the woods. I was always in the woods. I was one of those kids, was always walking around the woods, and I realized I worry a lot. But it was like I'm always worrying. I'm worrying about myself. I'm worrying about other people. Worrying about the world. Worrying about politics. At 12, I'm worried about politics, and you know, I'm worried about this. And then suddenly I got this message, well, reduce your worry balloon. And I thought, well, what's a worry balloon? And I realized that even when I got rid of my worries, I always had the set amount of worry that I was going to keep. And it, some of it would be a lot of stuff to be worried about. Some of it would be trite things I was worried about. It didn't matter what I put in that worry balloon. I was always going to keep it filled. Like a big boil on my mind, I would always have a certain amount of worry in that. Almost like those little cartoon figures with the worry bubbles, you know, the message bubbles above their head. So this is what we all carry. We have space, just enough space for the amount that we've decided we're going to carry. And at a young age, I decided to carry worry. And then by the time I got to college, I was really working on it pretty good. I started collapsing the balloons. I was like, no, I'll only worry about one thing. You know, I don't know why I had to have that one thing, but I guess I wanted to be a normie. But, you know, I would keep shrinking the worry balloon. And then I practiced what it would be like to not live with the worry balloon. And then I was afraid if I don't worry about things, will I be responsible? Turns out I was. But you can practice this. We can keep shrinking the worry balloon. The worry balloon is pretty much the same as the debt balloon, only the debt balloon is usually lower in your body because you're trying to get secure and connected somehow. And this is, and you know, this is what happens with people with debt balloons. They're in debt $3,000. Then they build their balloon. Suddenly it's, you know, 300,000. Suddenly it's 1 million. Suddenly it's 5 million. And that's the debt balloon that they have. They become more and more comfortable with it. And they're not really thinking and they're not actually taking care of it. They're kind of in this increasing the debt balloon. And this most of the people I meet, they just paid off their credit cards in a certain amount of time. They're just as bad as they were. So you want to shrink this energetically. There are times that debt makes sense. Sometimes with a mortgage where you buy a house at just the right price, just the right mortgage rate, interest rate, I mean, you do that, then you may have an investment. You might. It's not always a given, but consider what debt works for you and what doesn't. Some debt, like an investment in a business, is not the same kind of debt as, you know, buying things that can't actually give you a return. So you have to be at peace if you're in business with a certain amount of debt in that direction. And what I use is everything's working in my favor. This debt is working in my favor. And the worst thing you can do is hang a bunch of worry on your debt balloon, especially if you're investing for a business. Because if you are, if you're putting that worry there, you're going to drag it down. You're going to widen it, and you're going to make a giant hole that you'll fall into. And that hole is not just about numbers anymore. Now we're into an emotional pattern where you are sinking in debt. And sometimes we sink in debt because our parents did, because our grandparents did, because all of our friends are. And it has nothing to do with our own comfort zone. I completely believe in a comfort zone. You can't live a life of freedom if you're doing things that are always uncomfortably debt-ridden for yourself. I find people are more satisfied with their life when they're not doing just what all their friends do, when they're not doing what everybody else is doing, that they've found that place that works well for them. There are some times that we need to increase this. You need a bigger debt load. If you're buying a very big business, you need a higher income threshold. And to stop the ceiling if you're trying to make a big leap. So some of us have this sense that we can't make more than. Now, I've had this too. I've worked on this. When I was really young, if you made $3,000 a month, you were in line with great things. Well, that's just not quite true anymore. It needs to be higher. So we have to go. So I've been so wired, I didn't have to do anything, and $3,000 a month would come to me. And you can wire money. You can wire a certain amount of pattern the same way you pattern shame and pattern other things, with different energies, of course. But you pattern money to you. You pattern a certain expectation, which means you're pretty neutral to it. You become more neutral to it. And that same energy that makes you be neutral to it is different. It's the same energy you get when you release the shame, because the shame isn't going to bother you anymore. You're not going to be deceived by it anymore. You're not going to live a lesser life because you have it anymore. And you're no longer blaming other people for your circumstances, because you will never get out of a hole if you don't own your own power. Take a breath. That doesn't mean we don't collaborate. But you must own your own empowerment. You must. Okay. Do you have a favorite tree? We're going to do some tree work again today. I thought we'll do something different today, but that isn't what was brought to me. So we're doing a tree. And I want you to see yourself comfortably with your tree. I like the back against a tree, but you could also hug the tree too. And if a tree is uncomfortable to you, just align with light. Trees work for me because it keeps me grounded. And some of you are so wired to the high energy, or so in the psychic etheric plane that you kind of forget about the basic groundedness. And, you know, half of your health is staying grounded. I know some amazing psychics that are half out of their mind. And why? Because they're not grounded. I know some amazing energy workers who can't make anything happen in their life. And it's because they've sort of bought into, I'm getting rid of this life and I'm going to this light life, which is fabulous. But is it an escape for you? And if you're using it as an escape, because that's the only place you feel empowered, I invite you to come back to your body. I invite you back to the body that you made, that was God-given, that the world conspired to make for you, and live your life in it. this is how you are in the world. And then all that great floating around the universe stuff will help you in your body. It's hard to do because out of the body, we feel limitless. We feel amazing stuff. It's a whole different story of life. And many people in the body work really hard to get to where you are. They work really hard to develop that. And I know a great many of you have the same thing I do. Like being out there was much easier than being in the body. And I don't want to belittle that. I know how important and safe that is. But I'm asking you to have a bit more courage and get in your body. And yes, once you do, you're going to feel some aches and pains. You're going to find some shame. You're going to find some untended business. But that's okay. All that big strength that you got out of your body, you're going to work it in your body. Take a little translation. This is where you're going to make your money. This is where you're going to get healthier. I've lived long enough to know some extraordinarily pure women and men who did not live a long life, and they did not live from the center of their body. They were too easily able to jump out, and they did it so often the body was unattended. So I invite you in for your well-being. And you can use the tree to get there. Feel your roots. Feel your back up against the tree. I hope today you can get your feet in the grass or breathe some fresh air. See the ocean. Be in awe of the mountain. Whatever is close to you, ground in. By experiencing it, by feeling it, because this is where the wounds came from. This is where they're stored, and there's a healing elixir in earth energy. The trunk of our tree, and the core and the center of our tree, it holds all the information you could ever need. It's got everything about your ancestors. It's got earth energy in it, and it's got your specific journey in this tree. Way above your head, you can see the leaves, probably, depending on what kind of tree you have. Allow the core. The core of your tree is very much like the computer that's in the center of your being. The part of yourself that gets programmed, that holds the programs. That's your mainframe running right down your center. Trees are connected. I mean, they do talk to each other through the root system. Trees have the capacity to migrate, and many are doing this now because of climate change. And within your tree, you are a witness to your entire lifetime, maybe all of your lifetimes, and you have access to your ancestors. And we're going to begin in the center of us, where the programs exist. And I want you to breathe in the light above your tree. The sunlight comes in. In the evening, the stars shine on her or him. And feel the light move right down the center of you and the tree. If I have a pattern of disempowering myself, of making a prison for myself, where is it in this tree that is me? And go there. Be not afraid. Go there. See that pattern. And allow it to disentangle and leave. Now, if the pattern disentangles under the pattern, is a feeling and attachment. Nothing happens to us that we didn't agree to on some level. Find that point of agreement. Find that point of pain that held it to you. And maybe you took it on for someone else, but at some point, your powerful beingness decided to hold on to it. And we're holding this in unconditional acceptance, unconditional love, loving light. And as the light goes around this aspect of you and heals this aspect of you, it might lift off like a firefly in the night. If it doesn't, just allow the light to be there. If my spirit was broken, if I was trained like an animal to never leave her yard, if I was trained to have myself be disempowered, to not own who I am by people, by governments, by collective things, if there's a training manual in me for how to be disempowered or imprisoned, where is it? Let's release that now. If I'm holding on to conspiracy theories, lies, they're very thick in our world, in all communities, that do not serve me. Where is it in my tree? And let's release it now. If you find it out on your branches, it may be something that you've brought in. If you find it like sitting in your tree, like a visitor to your tree and not you, just go ahead and allow that to go. Your awareness is the beginning of the release. The neutrality or unconditional love is the juice that gives it the power to go, because you've stopped the magnetism. There's no power to hold it. The lie is busted and off it goes. If there's a place in me that's playing too risky or too much safety, if I'm being too safe or too risky, let's find that and allow some balance. We'll have the pillars around our tree as well, and they're very good at helping to collapse these things. They'll bring up to your awareness the aspects of you that are playing too risky or too safe. And those are patterns that we feel glued to, like we feel like we need to do, But within our core, we're making that decision on an individual basis. What's comfortable? What's right for me? What does my awareness ask me to do in this moment? As these ties of illusion leave your field, your optimism, your ability to create, you will find more energy for and more time for. If there are ancient patterns that I carry that are beyond my family, where are they on my tree or in the atmosphere around it? Allow the loving light to come through the leaves to the tree and allow that to disconnect. So that is that women cannot make their own money. Women are not attractive if they make their own money. No one will ever love women if they make more than men. There's a lot of these. Men often carry the burden that they have to support everyone around them. It's overwhelming sometimes. The part of you that wants to dismiss these lies. If someone ever told you that you could never be as rich or as good as or as smart as somebody else, go ahead and let that leave your tree and the energy around it. And if there's a pattern right in the core, that's part of you that you're cleaning up. You're cleaning up that whole pattern. It's like a program that you bought into that you're letting go. It's like defragging your computer. We used to demagnetize things in media way back when, and that's what we're going to do right in our core. If I took on the burden of another because I loved them and I wanted to help them, and maybe a part of me felt powerful because I could, and this pattern has become a burden to me because I now see I disempower other people sometimes when I do that. And I'm using that as a way to feel loved and connected. Let's go ahead and release that pattern. Dare to be loved and accepted for who you are, beyond your money. If I have a gift, and all gifts are double-edged swords, but if I have a gift that I have failed to use, that I'm ready to use, show that gift to me. And sit with your tree and see what shows up. And if you feel just completely peaceful and neutral, that's a gift. And it's not just that you feel it in that moment. It's a superpower, because that is a gift of healing and change. Whole communities decide to be disempowered together. And they're always waiting for those one or two people to step out of that cycle and demand more. Those are leaders. Some of you are leaders. All of you lead your own life, but some of you came to lead other people. And you're going to be miserable in your community if you're a leader and you're not leading. A leader in you would see the power in other people and help them become more of who they are. That's what a leader is. There's some poor examples of leadership out there, but you know what I'm talking about, and we're not going to go there. But if you can see the power in other people, and you can help them activate that, and it doesn't have your fingerprints on it, that is a superpower. Okay, keep breathing. Up in those leaves, up above the leaves where the sun shines down and the alignment to your source is connected. Trees never really doubt their source. They never doubt that they will not get what they need eventually. That it will show up. I'd like you to take a few minutes and sit with a message that might come down. If I'm carrying a script that needs to change here, if I have a gift I'm unaware of, if I'm carrying a gift that I need to let go of so another one can come, show me what that is. Allow me to hear it and know it. And I want you just to be quiet within. And while you're doing that, I'll be clearing off some branches, watering the roots, all those things for you. So I'm going to go quiet now while you do that. Brightening up some roots here and some leaves. If my roots and empowerment have been entangled with another, if my branches are leaning too heavily on another, pull my branches in, let my roots go deeper. When we're in the tree, we often have excellent access to ancestors. And if an ancestor of mine needed healing, a little love, I allow that to go to them. If there is a gift from my ancestry I have yet to understand or accept because I've been in anger or shame or disillusionment, I allow that to be clear so I can receive. If I have power that I have not brought to me, I have deflected. Sometimes we deflect our goodness or our power, our abundance, our prosperity. I open those channels to receive. Moving down into where we have our debt bubble, and we're going to shrink it. Let's travel to the worry bubble and shrink that. Whatever our income threshold is, wherever our set point is for income, I'd like you just to allow your tree to grow above it. Just keep busting above it. You want to reach higher? We need to naturally do this because of inflation, changes in currencies, and so on. We want to continue to always increase this threshold, this allowing of prosperity or goodness to show up for us. When we recognize our inner authority, our sovereign self, we recognize this as beyond personal. We recognize that we're willing to receive prosperity for ourselves and perhaps other people or community. And if you look around, not everyone's very good at asset management. So why not you? Maybe you could manage more of the assets of the world better than another. Maybe you would do more for yourself or another. I'd like you to take your attention above your tree. You're still attached to the tree, but let your attention go to above it and look down and see what the needs of the tree are. Does it need more vitality, life force energy? If it need a long nap, go ahead and just see what the tree needs. And from that space, allow it to move through the tree, through you to the tree. I want you to move down into the branches and the leaves of your tree. There are often other parts of nature that nest in trees. And some of that nesting in our situation is can also be symbols for people who are hanging on that need to go nest in their own tree. And if that's the case, bless them and allow them to go. If you look among your branches, you might see a spirit animal there for you. And confirm that it's there for you. I want you to go through the core of your tree. Trees have rings representing each year of life, just like you do. And I want you to go through all the rings. And if any of those rings need extra unconditional love, we'll allow it to show up. If any rings are difficult to see, we'll turn on the light. Experiences from certain years, you know, they amplify. Allow that amplification to go. If we live our life and we have, we'll call it an alley, from age 5 and 26 and 32 and 44 and 62, and that's an awful lot of amplification. This can wear you down. So as we release the amplification from that and we release the wounds from those times, we can live a more elegant life. We begin to lose that vibrancy of childhood because we're accumulating the experiences. And what we can do is keep the wisdom and let the pain go. That's what I do in synthesis. That's what the whole point is. You don't have to wait to the end of your life to look back and, you know, have an understanding of what you gained. You can do it now. That's like being rebirthed in a single lifetime. Still working through our rings. I can see a few rings have some sap on it. Trees have sap when they're wounded, and we're just allowing the nourishment to go in to physical aspects that could use that. If there was a wound that inhibited my divine masculine, my divine masculine's ability to move and act in the world, where is it in my tree? And before we release, go ahead and ask for that nutrition that your tree might need, the longevity, the vitality, the vision. Okay, beautiful. All right, I'm going to start taking some questions now. And if you're really in that deep space, feel free to stay in your deep space. Just keep working your tree. All right. Okay, we're going to go to Ottawa. Hello.
Hi, Sherry, it's Colleen.
Colleen. I'm so not used to being in Ottawa. How are you?
I'm actually fine. It's a drizzly out here, but it's warm and cozy inside.
So, okay, that's good.
But this has been really, really good and important for me. Today is November 3rd, which has always been a hard day for me because it's not only the day that I first got married, but way long ago, decades ago, and also the day I got my divorce papers. And it's so much different, obviously, waking up with my beloved now and my husband. But there was so much around debt that you had talked about. And I was just wondering if there's anything left there that I need to clear up so I can move forward when it comes to the financial.
Well, the echoes for sure. This should be like the slimmest of echo in your mind, not this big vibratory thing. And when you talk about it ripples out, right? So the divorce papers, the whole thing. So I would invite you to go back in to where that is and within the tree rings and just go right there to that pain that you know is there that you're still living in avoidance of. So of course you're recreating it over and over, within your mind, if not your reality. And allow that to go. Let's go do that now. And anyone on the call who has one of these deep pains that you're still feeling an echo of, go there, Colleen.
And I'm feeling it.
What ring is it? Okay, what ring is it? How old were you?
Tears are starting to come. It says six. I was six.
You were six? Okay. What do you feel? What did you see? What's there?
My parents always argued over money, and my mother always hid money because she was, it was a game with both of them. And I hated that, and I was always in fear of that. And then when I was known as the miser in the family because I'd save all my everything up, and then of course, my mother would even come and borrow money from me. Of course, she never paid it back, but she'd take the money from me. And it was like, I was always hiding, I think. And in this relationship, it's so completely different. And I didn't hide anything there in the first one because I was so trusting. But then by the time I realized that probably should have, I didn't, and I really lost out, I lost so much financially. So I don't know if that makes any sense. It's just sort of what is coming up.
Okay. So this is what we have as I see it. Feel free to jump in. So you have the ability to squirrel stuff away, to be, the miser. You might want to, how about the, the money manager.
Of course, it was my choice of profession when I was
exactly
when
so
I first came
what
out.
Part
yeah,
of you? What?
Yeah.
What part of you thinks you need to give that up for love? That ability to be responsible, that ability. You, it's like you lose money in love. You lost money to your mother because she said she was borrowing it, but she was actually just taking it. And their power struggle between them in order to be in love, you're losing, you must lose. That's really what it is.
Yes, that's what it is. That's what it is. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So there's some emotion in that. And then there's, you know, pain, basically, because you carried it your whole life. And then you can free that pattern.
Oh, yes, please.
So let's go to the little girl who thought giving her money to her mother would make her part of the family and make her lover.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman who lost a lot of money in a divorce because she fell in love with the guy who didn't also understand her ability to love and give.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you, would you just tighten up in there? Let it go.
Yes.
You're protecting it.
Yeah.
You're protecting it. Yeah.
Don't want to protect it.
No, well, you're protecting the wounded child who actually is so smart. She's so smart. You let her come out quite a few times, but let's love her. Oh, and she has words to say. Lots of words. So you see her just wanting to just say stuff. Okay, of course it's in your throat, so that would be true anyway, but let's go into that. What did she need to say to your mother, and what did she need to say to your ex?
No. She needed to say no.
I have a right, a sovereign right, to my gift of empowerment and money.
Yeah.
You need to separate money and love. You know, we talked about how they're always entwined somewhere within us.
Yeah.
How is that money entwined? And the truth is, I've lived one of those lives where people just taught me things as I went. And some of the richest people in the world can sit down with their very poor friends and say, I'm your friend, not your bank. You know?
Oh, I like that.
I'm your friend, not your bank, you know? And I empower you to empower yourself. And sometimes we need to say that when we have a pattern like yours. Otherwise, we're bleeding our self-worth out. And part of it is because you won't be loved without this power struggle. And you saw the love between your parents get used in a power struggle way with money.
Which
so
I don't have
girl,
that at all. Yeah. So, but go
well,
ahead.
But you've had mirrors of it, versions of it. So
it's
keep loving her completely clear and free of it. Just keep loving her. Can you find her and love her?
Yes, I just found her.
All right. So once you hold her, she'll start shifting quickly. Now, there's a place within you that wants to integrate her.
Oh, great.
But it's empty right now. It's very empty. It doesn't have a space for her yet. And that's the loss that you've been carrying this whole time.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Okay, so love that part that has the loss, too. And you may have to have some emotion come up. But if you hold the loving light with it, it's going to happen really quick. Ask her if she wants to replace that feeling of loss within.
Yes.
Will you call the debt canceled? I don't owe anyone, and they don't owe me. And when you get there, you are self-empowered. you can own your power when you stop waiting for the ex or some karmic thing to come back and fix this. Just let the debt be canceled. Because that means you're waiting.
Great. Okay, good.
Yeah, you don't want to be waiting.
No.
I cancel all debts.
I cancel all debts.
Mm-hmm. So you let those emotional debts go. There can be a lot more freedom and money for you. Are you breathing deeply?
Yeah, it was shallow, but now I'm going better.
Okay. All right. Out your back. There's more stuff going. We're just going to clean up a little bit. You want to send me an email and let me know how you're doing?
Yes. Thank you so much. And thank everybody for holding the space.
Yeah. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Jayshree, how are you? Got some interference there. Can you hear me? Okay. I'm going to come back because I can't hear you. Okay. Let's just do some quick interference clearing. And Sunday, are you on the line?
I am. Yes.
It's so nice to hear your voice.
It's nice to hear yours, too, and I really appreciate this call. It's been really great to have these experiences, and a lot of it has been relevant.
Okay.
Here's what's on me,
mm-hmm.
and that is that when I was really young, I saw how human beings kind of destroyed the rest of nature by what
mm-hmm.
they did, you know, like building buildings and, you know, cutting down
mm-hmm.
trees and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And there were other issues connected with money and loss of connection with landscapes, which are really big for me, as
mm-hmm.
you know. And
mm-hmm.
Then that kind of continued onward later on when I realized that, you know, as I got older, that other people didn't have the financial advantages that I did, that it was a very
mm-hmm.
unfair world in that way. So it was
right.
just always a sense of, like, taking more than my share or being destructive just by being here. And some
mm-hmm.
of that has dissipated, but I would really appreciate some help with that.
Okay. So you said taking more than your share just by being here. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, just... But, maybe the better way to put it would be that I'm destructive just by being here.
Right. You're in mourning.
Yeah.
You're mourning for a destroyed landscape, the fact that in two generations, 60% of wildlife is now gone. You're in mourning because trees are not honored. You're in mourning because the water is polluted. You're in mourning because in many places the air is not breathable. You're in mourning because there's not much respect for the animal kingdom, the earth kingdom. And it's so deep within you. It's not even that you're that mad at people. You're just so deeply disappointed in them.
Yes, that feels accurate.
And so you have to be willing to let that energy connect integrate, synchronize, synthesize, run all the way through you until you get to this place where you get the wisdom of it without carrying the wound of it. Not so heavily anyway. And when you do that, you're going to get to this place where you have messages for those who are ready to wake up in this way. And when that happens, the acceptance will start to show up, the acceptance for the change. It's shocking the amount of change the earth is about to go through. It is shocking how ill-prepared people are for it. And you have an opportunity to be part of the prep team to help people. I'm not even sure there's much maintenance that can be done, but there has to be a transition period for where we're going. And I think you're going to find a place for you to, a voice and a message for this. You have a confident voice. You have a true voice. Your words ring true to people. And so as you get into the to some deeper wisdom beyond all that pain and mourning, you have a message to bring. In the meantime, the self-destructive part that says the people are the ones destroying it, but the people were all part of, you know, a plan in the way that they became part of the plan. And so it's the limited consciousness that bothers you the most, the consciousness that doesn't know how to live in harmony, that refuses to. You know, in fact, our country was sort of based on that, right? You know, the go through, you know, we're gonna be in control of nature. And those are the messages that need to be shifted to a harmonious one. And I believe you have a way of saying it that hasn't completely emerged yet, but it's trying to. It's like a plant, you know, trying to get out of the ground a bit about not just, you know, all of the messages and all the money and all everything people have done to try to maintain it have failed. I mean, really, they've truly failed. And so there is another way. You know, we can't just be saving things. We're going to have to figure out how to flourish. There has to be a prosperity in the earth thing. And it won't be. So I think what you're doing physically is you're mimicking the destruction in your own body. And then you're using the fact that you're a human as a way to take that destruction to a different level. So you're going to have to forgive yourself for not living a vibrant life. You're going to have to forgive yourself for carrying the burden of all of humanity. Can you do that?
Well, I have tools now, so yes, I thought possible.
Yeah. I'm just going to do, if you don't mind, I'd like to do just a little light work with that, just a little clearing. I think you have, you know, those big tools from other big dimensions, and just allow that. There's like a regulation I'd like to see you attempt or try or accept. So kind of regulating that big power you carry with the wounds here and how you're going to synthesize right in to the message that you came to deliver energetically and verbally. And who will you speak for? I'm sorry, what?
I was saying yes, I would love help with that.
Yeah, you're
the regulation makes total sense to me. There's been this kind of disconnect.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and do that. And for anyone else who feels a little dysregulated, Sunday's an individual here, so I'm going to work on this. But if any of it is right for you, you can say yes. And here we go. So here's the other thing. Who do you speak for? And when you're really clear with that, that's going to help too.
Mm.
And there is a new earth emerging. I mourn for the other one, but there is a new one emerging. And again, we need to turn down, just like Colleen, the amplification of the dying, the loss.
Yes.
Just like you take a knob and turn something down or a light switch, you know, you have it, you know it, but that's not what you came. You're taking your amplification tool and you're using it through with the mourning. So now you're kind of letting everyone know with your amplification tool, the horror of the destruction. Now you're going to take your amplification tool, and when you get the, when you're really clear on who am I speaking for, what am I speaking for here, and allow that to run through your amplification system. It's like you're taking out one CD and you're going to put in another. And it's more than that. There'll be some more mourning and more pissed off at the humans for being so stupid, but you will get there. Now we have this forgiveness for your family having more than other people. And I guess that's the whole key of this whole thing, the use of resources and how the resources have been squandered. You see the wealthy, and there's nothing wrong with being wealthy, but you see many wealthy people squandering resources. And some people, I do believe some messages are quite perverted on this, that they don't want anybody to have resources except the wealthy people who are squandering it, because then we can condemn all resources. But really, it's we're about resource, you know, husbandry, management, asset management. How are we going to handle this? And you have gifts in that area. So you're condemning yourself for what other people do.
Hmm. That makes sense.
And where is that in your body?
Pelvis, feels like.
Okay. You're so good at merging. It's almost like you, here's another way to look at it with the exercise we did, that you took on rings that were not your own.
Mm.
And so you can bless the one, you can bless that part of you that knows how to do that. And then you can send some healing light or whatever way you want to do that, music, into the ring that you're returning. When I look in your rings in this new recalibration or resorting here, I mean, I do see a newness here. I see this beautiful new light in here, these new frequencies in here. And that's what's going to come up. That's what you want to continue to nurture and allow your attention to go to. And when, you know, a time of mourning comes up, you know, you honor that and you let that go, because that releasing of the mourning allows that new brightness to continue to build. That new, you know, I don't even have words for this new thing that is emerging, but I sense it, and I feel you're going to get it, and you're going to start getting an alive quality about it. And you can think of your lifetime, you know, as you've sort of mirrored this huge shift in the world. You know, you've kind of held all the energies of all of that. And as you let that go, you'll have a little more freedom for your human life. And then I want you to also consider this, just consider this. Your big purpose is very big. But it's also allowable that in your life that you may also have money, that you may also have more. I would rather you handle some of the resource management than others, right? So as you give yourself more permission to do that, imagine what would happen. So restore, like, it's almost like the big community of restoring your right to vote. Don't give that up. We're only one voice, but we are a voice. It's the same with this. It's very similar energy structure in a different part of you, where it's reclamation, reclaiming that part of you that you are the inner authority of this, and you know this better than almost anybody. It's a beautiful life, Sunday. And while there's less wildlife, every breath they take is precious. And the new species that are evolving and coming up, and they are right now, they'll also need support. And we're just about ready to give birth to a whole new group of people, a new soul group coming in. There's always a new soul group. They'll come with different recognition. How are you doing?
I'm feeling lots of feelings shifting through. Not too much I can describe in words at the moment, but definitely
okay.
Things are happening.
The sorting. Let me know how the sorting goes. There's a lot of letting go. So do all
yeah.
the things you do when you're letting go. I mean, what a big thing to carry the mourning of the whole planet.
Yeah, and it just feels so true when you say it. It's always been there, so I just never really quite thought
That's
of it
true.
That way.
That's true. When something has always been there, it's hard to recognize because
it
is us.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. It's real. Right?
Thank you.
The house is ours. Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Sherry. Yeah.
You're welcome. Nice to hear from you. Okay. I have area code 612. Hang on. Oops, sorry.
Sherry,
okay,
612. This is Sayuri.
I'm sorry, this is who?
Sayuri.
Hi, how are you?
Doing good. I was wondering if you could look into, because, when you're doing all of those things, I'm actually not... there's no thoughts or no words or, I'm not really feeling something. Part of me is kind of feeling left out. Like, and you talked early on about numbness, right? And I'm like, is that why I'm not feeling anything? Numbness being related to shame.
Let's look. There probably is, but the first thing is feeling kind of out of your, like, a disjointed, like not living in. So when you think of your body, where are you? Where does your attention go?
It goes to my heart, but I actually don't want to focus because when I feel like, my heart, it actually, I have physical pain. But if I'm not thinking about it, I'm okay.
Right. So that's that disjointed, kind of dislocated place I have. So when we're in avoidance, avoidance can kind of work the same. So I'm glad you brought this up because you're probably not the only one who has some degree of avoidance of our pain. Now, avoidance is an excellent coping mechanism, and I've used it I'm really adept at it, where I know how to avoid things that bother me, and I just put all the energy into the where I want to go. But in our new balance, we are we're going to allow ourselves to feel what we need to feel, so we can move on. So, do you want to go into that now, or
sure.
Do you feel comfortable doing that now? Okay, so what is that feeling of, what are you avoiding? What's the avoidance?
You know, when you ask, there's no words that come, but I feel overwhelmed with fear.
Ah. So I'm going to add some love. And if you can, it's hard to feel love when you feel fear, but I'm going to hold that part of you that feels the fear and knows she has fear that she's avoiding and has overwhelm. I'm just going to allow that unconditional love to get there. Okay.
No,
are
I
you
just
feeling?
I feel a sensation like I want to cry now.
Yeah. Okay. So you got into it. So if you want to cry, that's like a release of kind of something that's in the way. It's like a pressure, right? So you're welcome to cry on my calls. I don't mind. But sometimes we don't want to cry because we don't want to acknowledge, and we have to have that. I need to avoid and carry on, like suck it up and carry on. And boys and girls are taught this: suck it up and carry on. And so you want to, you know, there are times that you need to suck it up and carry it on. But we also have to go back and attend to that part that is overwhelmed and frustrated. There's a frustration in there too. So, so I want you to kind of sink into those tears, and you can be there, or you might be able to see what's just below that.
It's something related to connection, you know, like it doesn't feel safe to be connected, or connected to me, connected to, you know, like connected to anything. Like I feel like there used to be separation, or is too much.
Right. So if you're connected, it's too much. And what would happen if it was too much? What would too much be? Would it be not safe?
I cannot even put words. I feel like it's like I got chills all over my body just thinking about it.
Yeah.
It seems like obliteration, like everything just, you know.
Oh. Obliteration. I love that because I have that too. That annihilation, like phew, I'm done. If they saw me, I'd be done. If they really noticed who I was, I wouldn't be able to be here. So in that obliteration, as you said, if they saw you, if you connected, that would be too much. But also, if you connected with yourself, that would be too much. Now, is it? What is the too much?
You know, the only word that I get is, you know, it's like, you know, the whole thing with oneness, you know, maybe I misunderstood, you know, what oneness was, because to be connected with everything, it's too much, you know, like it's
right.
It's like overflow of information or feelings. It's just too much. It's just, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So this is what I want you to feel one with, at one with, unconditional love for yourself. So would you be willing to get a little bit more unconditional love through?
Yeah.
Okay, and you can be a tree, so you have a little protection here. So we'll allow that energy to come through the part that's afraid she'd be obliterated if she connected to her deep strength. I feel like there's like a whole library of information in here. Your pillars would really love to talk to you about that. Just there's a lot of depth in here. But I think part of the fear of connecting to yourself is now you're going to have to be a little different than who you think you are. The other thing is, when we connect in oneness, just like we were just talking to Sunday, you connected to the whole grief of the world changing. That is actually true. It's too much to plug into the world. So think of oneness as only the unconditional acceptance and love that you are. And then you can be at one with other people because they are also connected to that. And then the high, high energy, way, way up there, we are all one. But down here, we are individualized with that light within us. Can you think of a time, or does something come to mind about when you were plugged in and it was too much?
I want to think when I was young, and I think it was my family. You know, I think it was something related to my family. Everybody making fun of me. You know, I just felt totally isolated because whenever I would say something or see something or comment, you know, it was everybody. You know, everybody turning against, you know, or saying, like, on my mother's side, everybody was super religious. On my father's side, everybody was, like, super disciplinarian, you know, so very logical. And the other side was, like, a lot of blame and guilt, and you shouldn't say things like this because, you know, so it was better to not be that or connect to any of that or say anything.
Well, you have a choice. But some part of you did feel a bit annihilated by being that connection or obliterated in that connection. So let's get in there. And that part of you that felt like connecting was dangerous. Does that sound right? Connecting is dangerous or just complete rejection?
Yeah. It's funny because I'm actually trembling. You're saying it, then I can feel it. And I'm just trembling.
Yeah. Okay, well, those are the layers that I'm seeing, but sometimes I'll see layers before you do or in a different sequence than you need to feel them. So what you feel is the most important. So we're going to love all these parts of yourself that felt so different and the other and that you didn't fit in. I also think you took on, like, you felt judged by them. Did you feel judged by them?
Yeah, I mean, if I said anything, it was labeled, you know. Mm-hmm. I would yell one label after another.
Okay, so shall we let the labels go? You don't have to keep replaying those.
Yeah.
What's the label that bothers you the most?
I actually don't have word for it. I just know that I feel like a big pressure on my like high heart.
Okay, let's let that go.
Like I'm swallowing up.
Yeah. So it's like who you are has to be hidden and suppressed. Should we let her be free?
Yeah.
And let's let all the labels, as you say, stop holding her back. How are you doing?
It feels better. My chest still feels like a lot of pressure, like somebody sitting on it. You know, like I can barely breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So we need you to breathe. Keep breathing. I give yourself permission to be, and I give you permission to be and breathe. So you develop the resilience, just like a tree develops resilience, when you can push as much of it off as you can. Do you want me to help dissolve some of that?
Yes.
Okay, I'll do that, but I want you to also do it with me because I want your resilience to keep growing here. So there's a bit of unwinding that's going to happen, all the places that you took this identity on. And so you rebirth, or you birth who you really are. You become who you are. So we're just going to keep breathing all this out. Allow all this.
You know, I usually don't get words, but, you know, the word that keeps coming to my mind is weird and unforgivable. Right. It's like, so if I'm rejected by everybody and, you know, I feel the need to fit in, then I reject being myself, and that's unforgivable.
Right. So in this moment, can you just set all that aside?
Yeah.
And really feel what's under it, who you really are under all of that. You know how I say that there's nothing stronger than the light within? That's a belief worth holding on to, because when you really get into that, you can immediately go back. You can immediately go back to your core and center and align yourself. And resilience is being able to align yourself and return to your centered state. Whew. Okay, so there's a lot of unwinding going. It's like lots of ropes and different things, not just in your heart, but your head and your neck is shifting. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling much better, thank you.
So I know it's not finished, but you're in progress. So can you just shoot me an email in the next couple of days and just let me know how you're doing?
Sure, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay. Miss Karen Pitts, how are you?
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I loved the meditation with the tree this morning. I got really, really into that.
Okay.
And at some points I saw my tree and me, I guess, all together, like enshrouded in fog. But then it started to dissipate some, and I don't know if it was something that you said or something that just came to me, thinking about all of these health issues that I have, whether it's the autoimmune or diabetes or whatever. I saw like graftings onto the tree that were kind of just bolted on, and my blood sugar has been rising recently, and I've been having some, I don't know if it's neuropathy or not, but like feet and hands falling asleep more often. And I'm not quite sure if, because usually a grafting becomes part of a tree in like real life. If there's something that I've taken on that, I just feel like so much of this health stuff isn't mine, but it's definitely affecting my life. And I was curious.
I think we need to, let's go through the graphs. So if you look at a tree and how we're looking at our graphs, that's just as powerful and works just as well as seeing every little cell, or, you know, how sometimes I get really detailed into anatomy and physiology. But the tree will work just as well. So let's go to each graph at least one or two. How many are there?
Several is what came to mind, like, I don't know, four or five.
Yeah, I definitely got four. So let's start with four. So,
okay.
And so this might be part of the confusion. Which graft helps, which graft is to my benefit? And is there a graft here that is not? And isn't that sort of how your life is a little bit? Like, what is benefiting me and what isn't?
Yeah.
What's, you know, what nourishes me and what doesn't?
Yeah.
I mean, if you have a pet, you're not going to be confused, right?
No.
You're going to know.
No.
You're going to go exactly into it, and it's the same with you. What nourishes you? And so from your center, go to the first graft, I'm sorry, and kind of find it in space or time or feeling, and and you can also ask why it came and what it's for.
Yeah, one that came to mind was one that looks like it's only like half grafted, and there's like a dark area on it, and it does not, it feels like it's not benefiting me, but it's might be, my feet are tingling while I'm talking. So it may have to do with like some of the circulation stuff with the diabetes, but.
Do we need to prune the tree?
Parts of it. Yeah.
Okay. So let's prune. So I don't want to hurry too fast, but I'm going to walk you through some things you can do on your own. But
okay.
I want you to begin to prune what needs to prune. And recognize. So when you're talking about a pruning, you might want to go as deeply into, when did this pruning come? Why did I accept it? You know, this graft that showed up. And, you know, sometimes when we do tree work, we pull in the branches like we got too far out and then we become unstable. And so, but this grafting thing is different. So if you need to remove the graft, because the graft, you know, is feeding off the energy of the tree. And it's growing something different than the energy of the tree, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So, so if you're harvesting something from a tree, a graft might, you know, bring more things in you, you know, than you originally planted. And that could be intentional from your soul level, or it might just be something you accepted someone to graft onto you that you didn't really, you no longer agree to.
Yeah, what came to mind was my mom, she had a lot of mystery illnesses and health stuff, and people, my dad or whomever, like just jumped to take care of her, and that hasn't worked for me. It's like I still have to do it. And it's like there's a part of me that feels confused that how come it worked for her but it doesn't work for me.
That people come to took care of her?
Yeah.
Yeah, because maybe it's her pattern and not yours, and you want to get rid of the rest of that pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely move that graft off because that's a pattern that you're letting go of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mystery illnesses are no fun.
No.
No. Yeah.
Especially when I work for a healthcare place that they don't deal with those at all, you know.
No, they don't.
We want only the people that fall in the 90% or whatever.
Right, right. Well, they can't do anything for the others anyway. Okay, so what's the next graft? Because that's a pattern. You want to find all the places it's embedded and remove that. And thank your mom for sharing that lovely pattern with you. But you're no longer going to accept it in your own life. And then cut it off. And then let's go to the next one. What's the next one?
Next one has something to do with like hiding and camouflage. And it's kind of plays both roles, benefit and not benefit.
So it's a matter of, so we've talked about this one before for you. This is a matter of how to accept this gift and use it wisely. Or you can get rid of it. There are some gifts we just get rid of and say, I'm moving on to a different gift. This one I don't need. So that's definitely something you want to meditate on. Maybe you've done so much ill use of it that it's like, yeah, I don't even know what the gift of that other side is anymore. You're going, you know.
Yeah, I think, there's part that's really good to be able to be invisible and hide and blend. And other times I need to be, like when I saw the tree in fog, I need to be seen more.
Right. Yeah, or practice turning the fog on and off around your tree.
Yeah. And I also saw in the, I know this is not the grass, but I saw from the beginning in the branches a big cat. And it was in the leaves, so I couldn't see if it was like a lioness or maybe a mountain lion. Very watchful over, very watchful and protective.
That's lovely.
And I'm not sure the connection there with the grass, but
So is that your spirit animal?
One of them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So she came.
It's one that kind
she
of.
Came,
oh, sorry.
She came to today's meditation for a reason.
Okay.
So it might be a good time to also, it sounds like this was really rich for you. And so you've got quite a bit to work on. So speak to her message. And she may actually know a lot more about those graphs too. And so I would definitely speak to her. And you want to let us know how it went? Either post on Facebook or send me an email. I'm curious. I would love to spend more time talking to you about this, but I probably should move on. But definitely what I see, Karen. Oh, it's quite rich. Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay. Okay, 510. Hello.
Hello, this is...
I'm sorry,
can you hear me?
Yes.
Johanna? Yeah.
Johanna, sorry.
Hi.
How are you?
Okay. I'm well, thanks. This morning with the debt and the debt balloon, my debt right now mostly is as a consequence of the health for my daughter and my husband. And when my daughter had her injury 4 years ago, and we left one of the hospital visits with a neurologist and were given pain meds, my daughter said, no, I won't take them. And I committed, and I remember saying out loud, you know, I'm going to do what it takes to get you, you know, to get you well, and whatever that means, whatever we're going to have, whoever we're going to have to see outside. And I wonder if I have, in stating that, if I've locked something in that.
Yes. Yes, you did. So that sort of vow, I'm willing to give whatever I have to help you. So some part of you will be moving into a more a debt thing as long as she's sick.
Mm-hmm.
As long as she's not well or where you want to be. But the thing is, that's out of sync with her healing. So her healing is going to have its own timing, but some part of you committed to the debt and your willingness. Mm-hmm. So spending the money represents your heart connection and your commitment to your daughter. But it doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go to the vow, that declaration you made, because you've made it with oneness. You were at one with yourself. You knew exactly, you know, that you wanted her to live, and you were willing to spend anything it took, right? So when we say things in that kind of energy alignment, they come true. So you are now accumulating debt for the entire time she is recuperating. So let's go to this part of you, and you want to update this. You want to update your love for your daughter, and that you will, you know, that you, it's not so much about self-sacrifice, because if you self-sacrifice yourself to the point of ruin, you won't be able to help her anymore. But you want to maintain, you want to maintain a healing environment for her. You want all opportunity for health to arrive for her. You want to set up a situation where she's allowed to heal in her own time and space. And hopefully that's quickly, but it's some part of her will make that decision. And I feel she's got that control tightly held. And then you will also recommit to your own health and your own happiness and your own prosperity. Because if you're holding that, if you're aligning love and money again, and you want to disconnect and let money be a flow and your love be eternal in that place of unconditional acceptance for what is. And you're going to have to love that part of you that committed, you know, beyond probably what was even healthy or necessary. I'm not saying you shouldn't go see doctors or whatever. I'm just saying just free that up. Free that up to restore itself in a divine way. I went through my life savings twice trying to get well, and all on natural stuff, by the way. And right. It didn't help me one bit. It was something inside my soul that had to do it. I'm not saying it's always a bad thing or a wrong thing. But there is an internal timing that needs to receive the go, that's going to need to let go, that's going to decide that it's safer and better to get better than to hold on to the illness. And no matter how much you spend, until that part of her says yes, it's still going to be a little bit out of sync. Okay, so let's love this part of you that's so willing. I mean, it's a big thing for a mom to be willing. I'll be poor. I'll give my life for you. It's that sort of vow, right?
Yeah, and just knowing that she needed the alternative. She needed something different than, you know.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah. So it doesn't mean she can't have that. It doesn't mean you can't give it to her. But you don't want to hold the – I don't know if you can see this because you're swimming in it, but there is a there's an edge to it. There's a – the word is escaping me, but you've got a lot of juice on it, right? A lot of juice of I'm willing to do this, and I will go into debt, and I will do this to save you. So – you want to neutralize that to you'll want to find what actually works for her, and you're willing to do that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I am swimming in the middle of it. I feel like I can't quite I can't get a good read or feel right now. I just feel so. It feels really thick around me, and I don't quite.
Yeah. Let's do some work with that. So let's go into the thickness. And instead of the thickness, let's allow the unconditional love and light, the loving light, to be there with you. And if I'm carrying thickness or, you know, punishing financial vows, let's release those. If in my vow, my punishing financial vow that I took, I somehow cut off resources that would help my daughter and myself, I'm opening them. I'm just going to take that into all the cells of your body and the quantum structure of your body and the empty space of your body and just let it breathe.
Thank you.
Yeah. How are you feeling?
Really sad.
Yeah. You want so much for it to get better. It's hard to believe, but if you turn that over just a bit more, it will take pressure off of her and you, and you'll actually get more light into the situation.
Yeah.
I want to see her turned over. You know, in other words, let's allow her alignment to continue, her resources to show up for her and for you. You know, you're having a fight with time. There's a fight with time going on here. So there is a state of being where it's like a timeless state where all the power exists and the pressure goes. So you may not be the only one on the call that could use a little bit of that. So I'm just going to go ahead and set the energy for that. I've recorded this as like timeless grace or something. So let's go ahead and allow that to come in. So there's a time and a space. There's a place that's beyond time, really, where all the resources are and all the pressure of the time, just hold it up. So I want you to go to that place and everything that you need is provided now.
Takes away the charge.
Yes. Yeah. The fight with time is really hard for you. But let that go. Let that charge go.
And it connects to the worry balloon, too.
Yeah, the worry balloon. Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
So I keep just seeing a very, when you talk about deflating either the debt balloon or the money balloon, I see one of those teeny balloons that, you know, mm-hmm. are hard, the water balloons that are hard, you know,
mm-hmm.
once it's like you've tried to put air in it and you can't, so you've tried to blow it mm-hmm. up once, but it shriveled back down.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk about deflating a balloon, do you still end up sort of seeing the carcass of the balloon there, or does it just
for a while? Yeah. Sometimes I haven't been brave enough to get rid of all the worry because I've used it. I can use worry in a positive light too, but I really shrink it. I really shrink it. And I know people who've gotten rid of it completely. And I have had times where I got rid of it completely where it just wasn't there at all. So definitely start with shrinking it. And when you're ready to let the carcass be buried, you can do that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a habit, but I think we forget how much we feed the habit. And examine it in your life and see if that's it. You know, you get rid of one worry, another one has to show up. So you make less space for it. And sometimes go ahead.
No, you go.
Sometimes I've chosen the only kind of worries I'll let myself have, like worried I'll be late for an appointment. It's like the only worry I allow in my worry balloon these days. You know, I kind of decide what worries can be in there. I mean, you play with it in your consciousness and see what what works.
Okay.
It's a silly one for me to keep, but it keeps me from having the other ones. and you know, I have occasionally gotten rid of it completely. And I haven't really thought about whether that's better or not. It probably is, but I know I use it to kind of keep me grounded a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let us know how that
works
for you. Thank you. Bye-bye. Okay. 804.
Hi, Sherry. This is Betty.
Hey, Betty. How are you?
All right. How are you? I'm enjoying this call so much.
I really love working with the tree. I've never done that before, and I have a lot more work to do. I did a lot of work, and I've got more. I can feel it. But I did get messages and everything. It was very powerful. And when you sent this email out about the call, recently, I've just kind of been, a lot has been coming up about the patterns of money as punishment and control and about the debt and everything. And I kind of realized that some of that about punishment and control, really, it feels like it came to a head with me when I started, when I had to go to the courts against mm-hmm. my brother and to take care of my mother, and it was so combative with him that at one point the our lawyer said, is he going to take his sister to court for the rest of her life? Because, and they asked me, they go, how does he have unlimited funds? And it got to the point where we had to stop. And I've had regrets for the courts of not, if only I'd had the money, if only I'd had more money, I could have done this or that. But yet it really worked in my favor and as the ultimate end. But I feel like I did make a vow to her, to my mother, because she was not capable of making the decisions. And I feel like I know in my mind, and I feel like just that hit me with the last call, because I feel like I know I said, I will protect you no matter what, and, protect you from right. him, protect you. And it took me into a very financially vulnerable position, and I went further than I've ever, beyond my comfort level. Right. And, I've always paid off my debts, but they are much higher right now, much mm-hmm. higher than I've ever had. And, and yet at the same time, there were good messages that came from that, or good strengths, because I became her conservator, and I developed it was like court appointed to oversee the financial aspects of everything, and you do all this reporting constantly, and the office was amazed at what I was turning in, and they're using it as, I kind of developed some tools for them, and they said, and they were just like, you have managed the money beyond, what we can even understand, and I knew I was good at it, and yet it's like, I don't know, I haven't fully embraced that, and I hear that a lot. Even my boyfriend's like, you manage the money because you're good at it. He tells everybody she's good at the money, with money.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking,
there is a skill to accept, a gift to accept there. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I'd like to know how to strengthen that, and,
let's
and also,
it.
I mean,
let's do
okay,
it.
Okay, and I was
so
just going to tell
breath.
You that my,
oh,
okay,
go ahead.
Okay. Okay.
You said you were just going to tell me one thing.
Oh, I was going to tell you that I also can hear my brother. He was actually laughing at how financially, vulnerable and unstable I was at the end of taking care of my mother. He made comments
okay.
about it. He thought it was hilarious.
Okay, take a breath.
Okay,
so we're accepting our gift. So everyone on the call, if there's a gift that you're starting to recognize, find it, align with it. Everything has a vibration, kind of align to what that feels like or how you know it, and expand it. Allow it to go into the areas of your life you may not have used it before.
allow it to become your superpower. Okay, so your brother, you know, kind of a jerky brother from what you described, your brother was the one who brought your skill out in you. So I want you to bless your brother for showing you the superpower you have. Because you were mad at him for being a jerk, you weren't able to completely appreciate it. And because you were, you know, the whole drama with your mother, you know, you weren't able to appreciate it as much because all of the emotional noise was going on. But we want to get into this part of you that can say, thank you. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, brother, for showing me a skill I didn't know I had. And if you had had all those resources, you may not have never known you had the skill. Do you know how many people really could use help with resource management who don't have very much money?
Wow.
Do you know what a gift that is? To be able to help people with their money when they don't have, they can't really do that for themselves.
Oh, wow.
I want you to feel what that feels like.
Okay.
It's a superpower. It's like, you know, dividing the fishes. There's more fishes and bread than we thought. Okay. So you haven't completely felt it. I want you to feel it deep inside, right down in your core, that aligned energy right down the middle. I'd like everyone on the call to do that. Just really feel that deep, deep knowing of who you are. I know we did a lot of clearing and sorting. We're going to continue to do that. You have an email you can use. I read everything. I'm not able to respond to everything because I get so much, but I read everything and energy is sent on everything. It might just be a whisper you get, or it might be that next step, but I am there energetically with you. Okay. We have a Facebook group everyone's welcome to go to. How are you feeling, Betty?
I feel very strong. I feel like I'm stronger right now.
Can you do that forgiveness with your brother?
Yes. Yeah.
You can even start with, you're such a jerk, but look what you taught me. Without that pressure, I would have never gotten here. I mean, you know, start there and keep moving into, hey, thanks.
Yeah, that sounds definitely doable.
It's that pressure from the outside that births us, you know? And you can let that pressure be like a side of a pool, a pool like you're swimming in a swimming pool that you push off of. You don't have to let it crush you, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to reframe how you think of the outside pressure. The outside pressure is just like a pull you're pushing off of or the squeeze that you need to birth yourself. And that's what your brother and mother were. You know, you would do anything to take care of her. You were going to take care of her, and that same vow you will do for yourself. I mean, it's different because you're going to do it in a more nourishing way, not in a super protective way, but it's going to be, I will take care of this part of me that came out of that. And, you know, once you get into that letting go of that money thing and all the suing and all the money and all the way he mishandled money and did silly things with money, when you let go of all of that, you're going to start owning your own resources.
Oh, wow. Wow. Gosh. That's amazing. And I love the idea of I have a superpower.
I have a superpower. Yeah. So, yeah, when you're blaming and upset other people, how they're handling their resources, you're not handling your own, nor are you feeling you're not empowering yourself to actually use them and do what you've done with that.
Oh, okay. Wow. See, yeah, I can see what a blessing, you know, it was such a blessing to, I can see the gifts and taking care of my mother. This is great because I never saw anything with my brother. I have to be honest.
Because you were too upset.
You're too upset. Yeah.
But he brought that in, you know, and look how strong you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're still standing.
Yeah.
You're surviving. You're doing well. No, but some part of you's still in the fight, and that's why you're not as thriving as much as you could. But as you let that go, I mean, this is, you know, that's really taking lemons to lemonade, and you're gonna you're gonna have your own little you're gonna do well. So go ahead and just hold this potential and let that grow in you and let that begin to inform you.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. That I'm gonna now. Can I work at the with the tree with that?
Yes.
You know,
absolutely.
Okay.
If that tree feels good to you, do it. If you need the infinity loop for your brother, do it. All right.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, Sherry.
You're welcome. Okay, everyone. I know I'm not going to be able to get to all the questions today. I'd like you to just take another big, big breath and let the light come in. I love your Facebook comments because your comments help other people, and we can, you know, other people can do it. But if you need to share privately, you are welcome to send me an email. That's completely open to you. We're going to repeat this meditation on Wednesday at 5, and if you're up for it, I'd love to have you come back. And I'm going to take a picture of everybody's hand that's up that I am not able to get to. And I will, if you come then, I will do my best to get to you. And then you can also just let me know you didn't get to me on your emails, and I'll make sure I do my best to address it. All right. I love all of you, and I am so thankful you came today. And I'm going to move to interactive here so we can all say goodbye. Aloha. Ahui ho.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Much love.
All right. Enjoy the weekend. Ciao.
And I tell you how much the stress.